something happens to our minds, bodies, and spirits after a major event in our life passes. This may be an event that we anticipate, such as a celebration, an answer to an important question, perhaps a retirement. However, it may also be one which is totally unexpected, such as the death of someone we know or love. After such events happen, we often go into what is a kind of mental, physical, and spiritual daze. We're not sure about what just took place, and we're just kind of there. The disciples were experiencing an after Easter daze. They were trying to make sense of Christ's resurrection, the empty tomb, the story of the angels. Simultaneously, they were frightened by the ruling authorities and what they might now do to them. And so they locked themselves up in a secret location. The doors were locked. I imagine these doors, if you've ever seen how they lock, it's very old-fashioned. There's a big piece of wood that comes, almost like what a castle would be locked by. No one easily is going to push through those doors. They were locked there, and we hear in this morning's gospel that Jesus comes and stands among them and says, "Peace be with you." The first thing that we can glean from this is that Jesus is different. It doesn't say Jesus knocked at the door or that he opened the door, but that he now appears while the door is still bolted shut in their midst. "Peace be with you." And he then shows them his hands and his side. And the disciples rejoice when they see the Lord. It's almost as if they now recognized, even if not fully, what Jesus had been telling them throughout their 3-year ministry together about what he kept saying had to happen, that he would be crucified, that he would die on a cross, and that he would rise on the third day. It was what we sometimes liken to an aha moment. And I can only imagine that their eyes welled up with tears. The disciples then tell Thomas, who was the only one not present from the disciples, that they have seen the Lord. Thomas gets a very bad rap in this gospel, and I'm not going to preach about doubting Thomas, because we all would have been Thomas. The others were there. Jesus showed them his hands and his side. Thomas simply says, "I have to see it too." And later, Thomas, when he does, exclaims powerfully to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Our Easter celebration at St. John's saw the faithful come through these doors to celebrate the Lord's resurrection. We're missing some of the faithful this morning. This service, if you were not away traveling and were present, was filled beyond capacity, and the ushers brought chairs in. And later that day, I began what often happens to me. I'm sort of in a fog, a daze. And we had a house full of people, and it was hard to almost go through that. Except for my 26-year-old, 27-year-old nephew from New York, who has the heaviest New York accent you would ever want to hear, and had never seen me function as a priest. He's Roman Catholic and never had attended one of our services, and said to me, "Uncle Phil, the Mass, it was beautiful." And then went on to say, "You should think about going into public speaking." I said, "Thank you, Michael, I will think about that." That sort of grounded me a bit in what is the midst for all of us, something that's hard to describe, but we know of these times in our lives when they happen. There are times when you try to make sense of what just happened, whether it's a joyful event or whether it's a sorrowful event. It can happen at the joy of the birth of a child, or the birth of a grandchild. It can happen, of course, at the death of a loved one. The psalmist that we sang today writes, "I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not fall." After an event like Easter at St. John's, it was easy for me to begin to transition into a spirit of thankfulness. Thankfulness. We were happy with the way the day went here at St. John's. We worshiped, we sang with beautiful music, we had Eucharist, we gave thanks to God for what he accomplished through the death of his son, Jesus Christ, and his resurrection on the third day. And it's what we, today, every Sunday is an Easter Sunday, we celebrate as well. But what about those events in our lives that are painful, that are difficult, when we are dazed by them, rocked, if you will, and uncertain? How do we move into a spirit of thankfulness? When I was at Trinity Cathedral in Columbia, South Carolina, I was privileged to be a part of a lecture series called the Joseph Cardinal Bernardin Lecture Series between the University of South Carolina and Trinity Cathedral. Cardinal Bernardin, if you remember him, was one of the great bishops and cardinals of the Roman Catholic Church. He was born in Columbia, South Carolina, and a huge bequest was given to the university, and part of that was to continue a tradition of having academic theological lectures and bringing in speakers, and we joined with the university in that legacy. He died from pancreatic cancer, and he left a remarkable legacy from his ordination to the priesthood in the Diocese of Charleston to serving as Auxiliary Bishop of Atlanta from 1966 to 68, to then Archbishop of Cincinnati, and then Chicago. And just days before his death, he completed the book, The Gift of Peace. And I came across that book as a gift to me from a former Roman Catholic priest who worshiped at Trinity Cathedral. And only when he became ill himself with cancer did he share with me that he had been a Catholic priest in an earlier life. And he gave me this book because he said to me, "I want this to be a part of your ministry. You see, Cardinal Bernardin, Joe as he called him, was one of my classmates in seminary and a friend." And it's the reflections of the last 3 years of Cardinal Bernardin's life. His testimony is one, as you read this small book, you move with grace with him to a spirit of thankfulness in the midst of very difficult events in our lives. He writes, "Just prior to my surgery, many people asked me to share my thoughts. I said, 'I've been a priest for 43 years and a bishop for 29 of those years. I've always told others to put themselves in the hands of the Lord. I've counseled many people who face what I'm facing. Now it is time for me to practice what I preach. During that time, I prayed to God for the grace to handle my surgery and post-operative treatment faithfully, without bitterness or undue anxiety. He writes, God's special gift to me has been the ability to accept difficult situations, especially the false accusation made against me, and then the cancer. His special gift to me is the gift of peace. And he concludes, in turn, my special gift to others is to share God's peace, to help them deal with illness, troubled times. By talking about my inner peace, I hope people can see that there is a lot more to prayer and faith than mere words. God really does help us live fully, even in the worst of times. Understandably, the disciples were dazed by Jesus' crucifixion. All of them had difficult days to come. They would all face their own persecution and death for following Christ. And they were grappling with what his resurrection meant. These events shook the foundations of their lives and caused an array of emotions, not unlike what you and I feel in a similar situation. However, in the midst of these feelings, locked up in a room, when you go to your room and close the door and lock yourself up because it seems too difficult to move forward, Jesus, like he did to the disciples, does the same with you. He stands in your midst, and Jesus says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. The disciples are moved to a spirit of thankfulness. We are moved to a spirit of thankfulness. We're not called, you see, to dwell in that place of the locked room. We're not called to dwell in that place of being dazed. We're called to move forward in a spirit of thankfulness. This is the power of the risen Christ. Amen.